Welcome, Tom.
Thank you so much.
It's so nice to have this opportunity to speak with you. I have to start by saying I'm an incredibly joyous fan of yours. I've been doing this for 56 years, and I have great perspective, I think, on talent and individual authentic talent. And when I think about who I want to interview, I think about the people that are just going to stand out in the history of fashion way beyond you and me because of what they do. And you are for sure right up there, and I'm thrilled. I have so many questions. First of all, one of the things I think about is when I realized that I really wanted to do this, that moment, I was like, this is for me. When was that for you?
For me, I think it was, I graduated college and I knew nothing about fashion. I didn't study fashion. And I graduated school and had no idea what I wanted to do. And I had a job in a consulting firm when I graduated, and then I quit because I hated it, and then moved to LA and just did a lot of everything. And then became, so questioning in regards to what am I gonna do? And then I had no money in LA, and I thought, like, you know what, LA is not the place to really, it's very easy to do a lot of nothing yeah. in LA. So I thought, I'm gonna just move back to New York, and it happened, and then I just needed a job, and it was at Giorgio Armani, and then I thought, like, it was, the world was interesting to me.
Yeah.
And then a job at Giorgio Armani, then with Ralph. I started just feeling like, I love this world, but I really want to do my own little thing. Right. And that's when it happened. It was about 2001 that I really started thinking that I could actually do my own thing.
Wow. What did you study?
Economics.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah. I actually am a very good business person. But as we all learn when we start our own businesses and collections, that you have to actually be a good business right. person. You know, I love the fantasy, oh, you're a designer, you don't have to worry about business. It's like, I'm sorry, you do have to worry about
your business. Absolutely.
As creative as you want to be, you have to know your business as well, if not better than everybody.
Anyone. Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think that I had a gene in me that mm-hmm. would be a business gene. But the minute I decided, I'm actually liking this.
Yeah.
I'm having to pay back this money, and I'm going to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of realizing I'm a much better designer mm-hmm. if I'm aware of the business part mm-hmm. of it. And nobody would think that you, because of what you do, that you're thinking about the financial part of it, or the economics of the business.
But, it's as simple as it's all just common sense. You know, I always feel like, especially with, we're into our careers, and we have young people that always ask, like, what is that secret ingredient to, like, succeeding? And it's just like, it's common sense. Mm. If you want to be as creative, as conceptual as you should, you also have to have something that can pay for it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Yeah. And I think that sometimes is so not understood. Because the most important thing, I think, for both of us is to start from a crazy conceptual creative mm-hmm. point of view, but then have something that actually is based in reality.
Yeah.
And I think that is the key to all of it.
Yeah, it totally is. I'm looking at you as you're speaking, and I'm seeing all of these images that you've created for people. And how amazing everything about it is, from the germ of the idea of it to the presentation and the theater of it all, the magic. And it's just so extraordinary that you can make a simple thing like a jacket become, whoa, wow, and take people away. You just carry them away. And so I think if you decided you wanted to do films, and each of your characters, I see them as characters in a movie. I'm sure you're thinking that too. It's almost like an animation that is better than animation. Like you wouldn't want it animated, you'd want it to be, but to have life. You have to do that. I mean, if you're not thinking about it already, you have to do it, because that's the kind of artistry in film for today, right? It's not Spielberg. It's not, and these are all masters. Mm-hmm. This is like a new artful form. Do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, but you also have created a world, and this is why you're the icon that you are. You know, you have always put images in front of people that starts a conversation or makes people see things differently. And that's, you know, that's how I approach my collections. I approach them from a point of view, it's like, I really don't care about selling any of this. I want to create just beautiful images, a beautiful story that, you know, sometimes are more provocative than others. Sometimes it's just for the sake of being beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's, you know, with what's going on in the world, you do want to engage and make people see that, you know, fashion is not just fluff. We do affect a lot of what's going on in people's minds. People don't realize, but we actually touch everyone every single day.
Yeah.
But with my shows, I want to create a story that makes it even just worthy of people's time.
It is just so special. And you know, I think the idea of carrying it into many mediums is so perfect for you and different for every one of us, right? I remember doing a series of films in the 80s where I took my collection and I would write these stories. It was sort of pre-Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. And I would have these women, more influence of the women, and do these stories around these characters and have them come to life as these personalities. So we all have our way that we kind of visualize what we do. But I think my question is, what's the first thing you think about when you're putting a collection together? Do you start with fabric? It seems obvious maybe that you do. Where do you start? What's the first?
It's different. I don't know if it's the same for you, but it is different almost every collection. You know, sometimes it's the story comes first and then I design into the story. Sometimes it's the collection and then I weave a story into it. You know, we do know that, like, because I develop all my fabrics, that has to start so much earlier than even, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I at least have a jump on the development there. So it's different every time. And I have to say, I remember at the beginning, people say like, oh, so do you ever have times like you're like, it's hard to come up with an idea? And I'd be like, my God.
That's all you're doing.
But I have to say, like, I don't know about you, but like as you get further and further along, because I do want my collections and the stories to be important and to be worthy of the time that we all put in, it does get a little harder, you know? And, you know, sometimes it's right there. But then sometimes it does take time for me to really figure out what this is gonna become that is
The next level. Yeah. Well, it's because you're wiser and you wouldn't do something less that you might have done before because you didn't know better. And so we're harder on ourselves thinking
and horribly
about,
competitive with
myself.
Yes. Like everyone, like after each collection and show, I have days of depression
because I'm
like, wow, that was really good. How am I going to do something better than that?
Yeah.
And then, well, I have to. So you kind of just jump in and, but I'm horribly competitive in regards to this one has to be better than the last. And then the next has to be better. And that's where I think the athlete in me is. It's always like kind of pushing forward.
So are you an athlete?
I swam through college.
I knew it. I am a big believer in the fact that people who compete physically are the best performers in what they do, which is why I have workout here. And I have a very competitive group, and they work hard. Well, I have trainers come in and kick ass. And so they really, and I love it because it tells you the personality. If you, so competitive swimming, my God, that's awesome. That's so great.
But it is, it does, you know, because the one thing too, as after you finish your, you know, your competitive sport growing up, you think like, okay, what was that all for? Unless you make the, if you're a swimmer, unless you make the Olympics, then it was kind of a waste of time.
Yeah.
But you do, I do realize like I still have that in me, and now I have it in work. I mean, I challenge myself. I challenge, unfortunately, everybody at
everybody,
work.
I know. It's true. Unfortunately, they have to. I think about it. They're afraid on Monday morning when they come in that I got another idea.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, no. Oh, no. And she looks like she has another idea. But that's the fun of it, that you keep coming up with other ideas.
Yeah.
And I don't think we ever stop creating, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you stop, you finish a collection, and it's to go on vacation, and then,
I know, I don't, those stories of like, going away after a collection, it's like, I don't know, I haven't figured that out yet.
I haven't either, unfortunately.
Well.
But we're really lucky. We're really lucky.
It's such a
blessing to have a creative life. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have given anything for any other kind of a life, even with the headaches and over 56 years, you can imagine how many times I'm crying in my pillow thinking I'm not going to be in business tomorrow, oh my God, this is.
Well, people from the outside, people always feel like or think it's glamorous and it's so much fun. And it certainly
has that
side to it. But the reality is the day-to-day and the hard work that it takes and the commitment to really just working.
Yeah. And the deadlines and the, you can't be late.
Yeah.
Can't be late in any part of it. The sense of urgency is constant, and other industries have no idea of what we do 4 times a year. It's pretty incredible, and we were talking about young people who really believe they want a creative life too.
Yeah,
are shocked many times at what it really takes and how hard we work. I mean, it's really, there's a lot of physical, emotional, all kinds of.
But the reality is they need to see it very early on that it is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's not gonna be fun for a lot of it. And also too, you most likely won't be rich and famous.
Exactly.
Your success should be really just creating something really beautiful that is made really well. And that should be your success.
It's very interesting. I remember years ago, I thought to myself, I don't want to be the richest designer in the world. I don't want to be the most famous. I just want creativity mm-hmm. every day, yeah. somehow every day. And that for me mm-hmm. is it. That mm-hmm. That's the best part of it. And I'm happy to say that that is actually, I think, why I'm still doing this mm-hmm. because that was my purpose. What's your purpose?
I want to be, what I want my legacy to be is to be a designer that is whatever the size is, but I'm very competitive, so I want it to be as big as it can
right,
be.
Right.
But I also want to be collected by museums. So I want that to be my
I think legacy. that's an easy one. You know, when you say that, I was thinking about Jordan Roth, and mm-hmm. I'm friends with his mother and his father, and I'm thrilled that he has taken on this modern day role mm-hmm. that the socialites who collected couture mm-hmm. and had these beautiful collections, and that he's doing that, and yes. that he is the version of our time, and he's doing it brilliantly. And yeah. I think you were so pivotal for him. It's when he reached a level when he was in your show that mm-hmm. just catapulted him. He totally saw mm-hmm. what could be, right? You influenced his whole being, I think, even though he'd already made a commitment.
Because he influenced me in regards to, you know, because I was always, it started with one of my men's shows in Paris, probably like 8 or 9 years ago, that I thought like, you know, we live in a world that like anybody that wants to be whoever they want to be or wear whatever they want, it's like, so what? Yes, that's exactly what they should do.
Right.
So I called it the Why Not Collection. And I put men in what was traditionally looked at as mm-hmm. women's, but very classic jackets mm-hmm. and skirts.
Yeah.
And so it looked really odd because they were in like basically like men's suiting fabrics.
It was
just so good looking.
Yeah.
And from then on, I just thought like my collections aren't men's and women's anymore. They're just like beautiful clothes for men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And then really getting to know Jordan was like, he embodied that whole ethos for me. So, I mean, it was so easy for me to want him to be in my collections because he really was.
He's so committed to it. And I interviewed him for a podcast sort of at the beginning of when he was doing it. Mm-hmm. And I was really excited because mm-hmm. I felt that there was that something missing in our industry or mm-hmm. in sort of our world. Mm-hmm. And he really embodied what it should be or where it could be. I remember in the 70s, I had a customer base that was split men, women.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at the receipts every day.
Mm-hmm.
Half exactly, and it was unbelievable, right? And I, of course, loved it. I mean, I got so excited when I saw the styling that mm-hmm. was happening on different body types, and it just like blew my mind. It opened doors in my head that I never thought were really going to be possible. And I had groups, you know, I had all types of musicians and dressing in dresses and mm-hmm. and friends, and it was great. And it was done with art. I mean, it was mm-hmm. done beautifully styled and in every way you can think of. And then when AIDS came mm-hmm. in, all of that shut down. Mm-hmm. It totally ended, and it was just going to be a different world.
Yeah.
And I felt so sad. Mm-hmm. I felt there was a creative part of my head that I felt sort of died and didn't, and plus friends and a hard, really hard time. And then in the last probably 5 or 6 years, it seems out of nowhere. I mean, the most amazing pictures I would see on social media. And like, wow, I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. This is truly what fashion should be. Yeah. It should be you wear whatever feels right, looks right.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between drag and there's a difference between interpreting fashion. Mm-hmm. And so there are all these nuances, but when it's done, and I remember that collection because it was like, whoa, what? It wasn't like, okay, somebody's wearing one of my big ruffled skirts with nothing on the top or a t-shirt, right? Yeah. It's like, what the hell did he do? It's like something, there's a blurred line here. And I'm like, oh my God.
And the great thing about the collection too, because it was so subtle that it drove people crazy. Because it would be one thing if I put, you know, the guys in like the big skirts and then it would be understandable because it's like, okay, I get it. But it was like, wait, this looks like what I wear.
Yeah.
But there's something off here.
Right.
And it's like, I don't get it. What is, and I thought like that was
the subtlety
so
was,
great.
Yeah, it was really great. Yeah. It was really fantastic. I remember I've done a lot of stuff with Twyla Tharp and I love working with her. Mm. And she did a dance and I said, please, please, please let me put a dress on that guy, please. She's okay, Kamali. And I was like, it's going to be great, I promise you. And he just came out of nowhere. And people were like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought, oh my God, if she gets a bad review because of this, I'll feel awful. And there were people that weren't ready for it in that dance world. Mm-hmm. They can be very sort of closed-minded where you wouldn't think.
Yeah.
But this guy looks so amazing, this amazing body.
Yeah.
And then coming in and doing this spin with this skirt that just went on. And it just like, it's wonderful, right? Yeah. It's a wonderful
thing. Well, that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
We're supposed to scare people a little bit. We're really supposed to start those conversations that, look, maybe sometimes we're even ahead of ourselves. But like, I'm sorry, we get bored. Like sometimes we just even just selfishly want to see it ourselves.
Yeah.
And respectfully, you know, as long as it's always done respectfully. I just love, I like scaring people. You know, I think there's nothing worse than mediocrity and just playing it safe. And it's just like, that's what we're supposed to do. And I feel like that's sometimes the challenge here in America is like, I don't think enough of us do like kind of challenge everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to challenge ourselves. The stores should challenge their customer to see new things. Mm-hmm. Journalists should, you know, show more interesting things and not just, you know, what people will understand and like move it all forward. Mm.
Some of the biggest challenges are, so your business can be doing great and you have some styles that are off the charts and they just like reorder. And you know, you can't do that again. Mm-hmm. You know, sorry, not gonna do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Gotta do something different.
Yeah.
Not feeling, gotta do it. And then you talk to your sales team and you're like, okay, how do I make them happy? Mm-hmm. And how do I take care of this? Because this is toxic if I let this happen.
Yeah.
And people don't understand at what point you have to stop and you have to make that change. And it's hard even for us when it's like, this is so great, blah, blah, blah. And then, it has to be different. And actually in the last collection, we did the whole collection and I think it was with all of the stuff with Israel and everything that was going on in the world, there were so many things. I woke up and I thought, this collection's not right. this is not right. And we're about to like show everybody. Mm. And we did an installation here of 100 mannequins. Mm-hmm. And I came in and I thought, I don't know, they're gonna quit when they hear what I'm gonna do here. And I just totally re-merchandised the entire collection. Mm-hmm. I pulled things out that I didn't want to show. I mm-hmm. did all of this. My sales team was like, are you kidding me? Do you know the business? This is so what people want. It's so saleable. I know it's not. Mm-hmm. I feel it is not. I yeah. cannot do that. And thank goodness I mm-hmm. was right yeah. because, but mm-hmm. you know when something's wrong. It can be yeah. stunningly beautiful, mm-hmm. but you know, not now. Mm-hmm. And the way the world is changing, we can't ignore it, yeah. right? Because you do the wrong thing, the wrong color, the wrong something mm-hmm. that works against that. You know, your instinct is mm-hmm. going to say, edit, fix it, turn yeah. it, do something. So have you had that happen?
Yeah, I'm so instinctual that way too. And I mean, that's our ongoing challenge is the commercial side of what we do.
Yeah.
And it's, I care about it so much. I care about, you know, how people see what I do, what people get to buy from mm-hmm. what I do. And I think it's always gonna be like our challenge with the commerce of what
yeah.
we do. Because I wanna make sure that they see everything that I do. I don't want them to see just the sweats.
Yeah.
And I love the sweats,
yeah.
but I mean, the sweats are only interesting because
yeah.
of
Absolutely.
What the 40 things that I put in the
yeah.
show. So you have to kind of make sure that everybody sees the whole world because the whole world needs the whole world. Mm.
So when you were growing up, who is the most influential in your life?
I mean, it probably was my mother. Yeah.
In
I mean,
what way?
Well, there were seven of us and And I would say, you know, with both my parents, but it was more my mother because my mother was an attorney and gave up everything for 25 years to raise us. And really raised us on her own because my father was working and was just like, she was so just supportive in making sure that all she cared about, do well in school and do well in a sport.
You know, really?
She was like, make sure you like concentrate and be, and so that's what we did. And she was more competitive than all of us. And so she instilled in us that. And, you know, we all, you know, I'm the only non-professional in the family. And we're all, you know, have somewhat succeeded because of her. And, you know, it's the type of, you know, she's passed. And, you know, there are moments that, like, she never really got to see all of this.
Oh, really?
And I was the one that I think everybody worried about.
Yeah, of course.
And I would love for her to have been able to, but it was, yeah, probably my mom.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the idea of excellence mm-hmm. in a home is the best gift you can give
yeah.
your children. My mother, again, was the same.
Yeah.
You have to have a good education. She believed obviously in, because she was very creative, she mm-hmm. painted and made clothes and did hair, makeup, like she mm-hmm. was the, and if she would have been alive during my time, way more successful because she was very outgoing mm-hmm. and I'm sort of, mm-hmm. I like being behind everything. I don't need to
Me
be
too,
out
yeah.
there. I'm not comfortable there.
Yeah.
She would have been
yeah.
out there. And I was very lucky to see, in her mind, anything was possible.
Yeah.
I mean, she was oil painting.
Mm.
We always had an easel with oil paint, sewing machine, fabrics, you know,
mm-hmm.
people coming in for Marcel Waves. I mean, that was the house I grew up in, and that influences priceless. But that education was the most important thing, and excellence. And I feel to expect or to have a conversation with your staff about excellence or people you hire. There was a period of time I really worried that I could never say that word again. But I've been saying it more and more, and not with everybody, but it's appreciated by people again. And and we're lucky that that's what was put in the early part of our lives. Where did you grow up?
In Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So the furthest thing from this whole world, and you were so fortunate, you had, you know, a like a direct, you know, inspiration in your mother. And mine was more indirect. The direct was the excellence and, you know, wanting to be the best. And the best meant, you know, the world, you know, we, you know, if somebody can do it, then why couldn't it be you? So for me, I, you know, when I started, you know, I, even my father came to one of my shows. He was like, wow, this is really interesting. Who did all this? And I'd be like, I did, Dad. This is what I do.
Wow.
So they did, they really didn't have an idea on the whole world. They just like were very, the great thing, and I think the best thing they gave all of us was the freedom to really just do whatever you want to do. And whatever that is, we don't care what it is, just try to be good at it.
And not afraid. Like, just do it.
I think you kind of have to be almost a little, I always feel like sometimes ignorance is bliss.
I was just going to say.
And you just like kind of,
I
don't know.
I know.
Why not? Why can't I try this? And I never thought, like, I didn't think about any of this really. I just wanted initially this for myself. And then all of a sudden, you know, 20 years later, here it is. But I didn't like kind of think about it.
Yeah.
I just kind of did it.
I agree. The ignorance is bliss was definitely, I had no idea, no idea what I was about to do.
Yeah.
I was in my early 20s. I opened a store. I was bringing clothes back from Biba in London. And I thought, I can do this. I'm traveling around the world for like $29 at an airline. I'm doing all this stuff and I can do it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh my God, I guess I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. And then now whenever I want to do something that I've never done before, people say to me, Norma, I've never done this before.
Yeah.
Like, I've never done it either.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
let's do it, right?
Yeah. It's so true.
But a lot of people overcautious themselves out of the experience, or even out of failing, because sometimes when we fail, it's a great experience.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel good. But
I mean, I almost went out of business, and you know, because of, you know, just a lot of, I was just doing it. I just didn't really, you know, think about it as maybe as seriously as, no, I thought about it so seriously, but I don't know. I just like, it kind of was, it was the reality. And it then comes into the idea that you have to love it more than anybody else in the world, because no one is going to make it happen for you.
Yeah.
And I was going out of business and it was like, okay, what do I do? And it's like, I have to do everything possible to make sure that I don't go out of business. And, you know, of course you have business people say like, oh, just declare bankruptcy and start over. I could not do this again.
I know.
I could not do this again. And they don't understand things like that. And so, you know, I did everything and then, you know, it kind of went forward and I figured it out. And, but it really comes down to those like simple ideas of, you know, just wanting to put the work in and wanting to, and loving it more. I love my collections more than anybody in the room seeing it. So I don't really care what anybody thinks, you know, in a way, because I, when it's leaving, I like, there's almost a tear in my eye because it's like, wow, that is the most beautiful thing. And then, you know, the next day, sometimes somebody says like, that's the most ridiculous thing. It's like, okay, well, I thought it was beautiful, but.
It's so funny because I feel the same way. Sometimes I'll, I'll come in and maybe we do an installation and I'll come in early. I'm like, that is fucking great. I love that. And then I, you know, then some people walk in and they look kind of like a little bored. And I was like, well, what do you think of that? And I was like, personally, I don't really care because yeah. I think that that is new. Yeah. It's different. Like they don't know what I'm thinking, my experience. And then, but then when the collection is over, I have a different kind of experience. What's your experience? So you finish the collection, then what happens? What's going on?
Well, then the reality is then it becomes, you know, part of the world. And then, you know, then, it, you know, the commercial team, you know, steps in and,
you know. And you don't want to see what they're going to do.
Then it becomes like, what? Really? Right. It's like, you know, because I am still one that like hovers around in the showroom sometimes and they hate that. Because I honestly, I am the best salesperson
of
my
course,
collection.
Of course. Yeah. How can we not?
But I don't really always want to be around because I don't really want to always hear the
it's
commercial realities of
good.
Like, it's like, okay, but how's a woman going to like, kind of like reach across the table in that cave? I'm like, well, maybe she shouldn't be sitting down and eating in the cave. I'm the most impractical designer sometimes. But that's the reality. And so of course it goes and then you hope you sell as much as possible. And then it's just starting over.
Yeah.
Well, granted, it's started, you know,
no,
usually
it's
started
already. Started,
but it is like those days of like, wow, this was, how am I going to beat this one?
I find when I finish, the way I can deal with the, then it's going to go into all of these different platforms, different stores, and they're going to do stuff and I don't want to like, I don't want to see it. I do, but I don't want to see it right away. I need distance. And so I take all of my sketches because I sketch constantly. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be an illustrator originally. Mm-hmm. So I'm sketching as my tool and I throw all the sketches away.
Oh, wow.
I just throw them all away and that's it. I'm done.
Wow.
Of course, I've seen people go in the garbage can.
I know, we need to archive these.
I said, well, give them to your kids.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, just give them to your kids. But by doing that, it's sort of a cleanse. Mm-hmm. And there are times where I can't wait because I need to be in the next place. Yeah. And when I do that, it's sort of this ritual. Yeah. I was like, what are you doing? Why are you throwing those away? It's like, I really need to do that. That's part of the process for me. But
and you archive all of your collections.
So I have an archive from 56 years worth of designs.
Yeah.
However, when I turned 50, 28 years ago.
Wow. Amazing.
When I turned 50, I decided to get rid of my possessions. Literally everything. I felt like my possessions, which were very beautiful, I collected a lot of things, a lot of beautiful things. And I grew up with no money. I mean, I didn't, but I was able to finally have these gorgeous things. And I was sketching a collection and I was looking around at this beautiful home and beautiful things. And I thought to myself, I have to get rid of these things. They're trapping me in a place that's not about tomorrow. It's not about my evolution. So I literally had an auction at Christie's, sold all of my samples from that were in a warehouse. I sold, I mean, art books and crystal, and I collected strange things and beautiful things, things that I really loved. And I set myself free, literally, and I don't keep anything that I'm not using. So if I have, say I have a beautiful art book, Now this, I would, I will experience this and then I'll think of who I want to give it to.
Yeah, it's so nice.
And so my apartment is as minimal as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Severely minimal, not understood by a lot of people. So I don't have the actual samples. I constantly let those free, but we have documented, whether it's sketches or photos or whatever. And so I put that into an archive, and then that archive now is going to be the future of this company. I'm very into AI, and I want to train it to design without me.
Wow, that's amazing.
So that's my goal.
Wow.
I've just announced it here with you.
That's
amazing. But that is, and I actually have at my desk now a setup. So every morning I'm going to train AI with my, it's very exciting.
Wow.
And I can do this because it's 78. I don't want to stop doing, but I want to train this so that there's an entity that can use the authenticity of the brand. But I recommend that you do that.
That sounds good.
I recommend that you do that, because if it's one designer who has season after season, not a designer for 2 years or 3 years and that kind of in and out. But the purity of a designer, and there aren't a lot, as you know, you're a candidate for this, and it's something to think about. Having an archive that can be a part of that installation or those things, that would be incredible for you. Incredible. I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah.
I'll give you.
I don't know. I still don't understand fully.
You can.
Yeah.
Believe me, you can. You're not everybody can, but I'm positive you can. I even took a course in the summer at MIT on AI, because I believe there's a real possibility of things for fashion.
Yeah.
Not for everybody, but I think in this particular case, you, me, other people could really benefit from it.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what AI would create for me.
Well, you are still in the creative director of AI, right? So, for instance, say I have all of my swimsuits in, and I want to have it designed using me as an influence, right? Using my history as an influence. Sometimes I do look at things I've done before.
Yeah, I do too,
and I see it in a new way or whatever. The prompt you put in, the information you put in, is your creative mind. Which is what you might tell yourself when you're doing a collection. But now you're prompting your archive through AI to come up with designs.
Wow.
And you can give it a direction of what you want it to do. And so it's a surprise. And then there's the aspect of bringing it to life, giving it a soul, right? Which you can do, I can do with this, and a human being has to do. So there's a whole creative world there that, you know, and it's baby steps. This is a year. It's only a year that AI is really functioning.
I know. And how do you create something like that? Like the intelligence of these people, that
it's beyond
crazy.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And we're so grateful that they are in our lifetime, where there's this opportunity that is open for any of us, any business. And in our world, the fashion industry is maybe not as progressive when it comes to technology But if there's a creative way to do it, mm-hmm. you and I are gonna find that comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But if it's all about technology, mm-hmm. where's the fun? Where's the charge?
But also too, we have to make sure, don't you feel like we have to make sure that the hand is still involved?
Has to be.
It's like, you know, Andrew's show at the Met, the, you know, the hand of the machine, mm-hmm. Manus Ex Machina, mm-hmm. that show. It was so, I think it was so important for people to see because both, you know, we need both, but we, you know, really have to make sure that we don't lose the hand.
No.
You know?
We can't. Our industry is different mm-hmm. from other industries. And that's why having a heartbeat or a soul mm-hmm. in whatever we do. I mean, all of your collections are living. I mean, they're breathing and they're mm-hmm. living. They have a heartbeat. They're, yeah. people are feeling what they're seeing, mm-hmm. right? A lot of technology, like AI, doesn't have a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Nobody's feeling that. Mm-hmm. In fashion, we're gonna wrap our clothes around people's bodies. Yeah. They're gonna feel it. They're mm-hmm. gonna feel the message you yeah. send, right? Yeah. So it's an interesting new sort of direction. And I think the dream of seeing installations of your work. Think about the mm-hmm. the future and how people will have this, but then add that AI technology, mm-hmm. add all of this other dimension. There's another platform for you, not just film
yeah.
or theater, but this is like the theater of the future. Mm. And what you do, I think, breathes.
Yeah.
So nobody's going to take the soul out of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not happening.
Yeah.
What's do you have, I know it's very hard because I can't say that I have any favorite pieces or favorite experiences when you're doing a collection. Like, there's no one piece that you're going to say I love or this was one, but what favorite experience sort of changed the direction for you or opened the door that showed you another kind of dimension of what you can do?
And I think every collection, because in casting, I always put the girls and the guys and the girls in just my classic gray suit. And I think every time that happens, it just re-emphasizes, wow, I still love that gray suit.
Yeah.
And it's 20 years later, and it hasn't changed. It makes me feel, you know, sometimes proud that, you know, I created that. It's just like, it always looks good.
Yeah.
And as simple as that is, because it's such a classic piece of clothing, you know, a classic gray jacket and trousers. And it just like makes, and I think it's not just for me, it's everybody in the room. It's like almost like this is it, guys.
Yeah.
This is what was created at the beginning. That is the reason why we're all here
yeah.
and we're all still here and we get to do all this. And this is the reason why the show is so important, because it keeps this gray
yeah.
suit interesting every year. So I think it's almost every season I remind myself.
I love that you do that. I love that you do that. And, you know, having timeless pieces mm-hmm. it's so special
yeah.
that you can look at that suit and still love it. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way that some of my history still exists and
yeah.
is still a part of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I still love it. And
mm-hmm.
fashion doesn't mean you throw it away, right?
Yeah.
That if you have something that you can still look at and people put on and they're still buying,
mm-hmm.
I think, hello, that may be the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Or it may be.
And I think, I always feel, and I think you probably feel the same, that, you know, we've done things that we did pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the reason why we still are around. And I think it's not always about every season things changing and the new, everything has to be new. It's almost like everything has to evolve from those really important things that you've done. And I think that's what I think young designers these days don't realize. It's like, think of one good thing. Because I feel like I've done one good thing and everything else is kind of like grown from that.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's so important to do that one thing so that even when you're not around, people do remember you for one thing.
Yeah.
And at least you have that one thing that you can be remembered for.
It's really special. So I think we all wear uniforms, right?
Yeah.
I can't even tell you that this is 18 years old, this jumpsuit. I could wear it for another 18 years. It's out of a fabric that I do outdoor furniture in that you can like leave out in the summer and do whatever.
Yeah.
I travel in it. I do everything, and I have a uniform and I'm always comfortable in that uniform. When I'm doing a collection, sometimes I'll put something on so I can feel what I'm doing. But I have a uniform. Tell me about your uniform.
Well, I mean, but it is such a story because everybody thinks like you're in fashion, so everything should change and you need to wear like different things every day. I always find like I have zero interest in, and a lot of the times like the collections that I create, they're not for me, they're for the world. You know, I created this at the beginning for me. And then like past that, I didn't need to do anything because I, you know, this is what, this is how I am. This is what I want to wear. And it's, yeah, my uniform is basically this. It's just, it's.
I love it. I love that this is your uniform and it's memorable, right? It's just so your identity. And I think that everybody has a uniform. I really believe that people have a go-to that identifies who they are. It's a comfort zone. It feels right on.
And it shows confidence too.
Yes.
Like the idea that you have like a good sense of yourself and this is who you are.
Yeah.
I think there's something so important about that. And really for me and for all of us at work, you know, I want to create the image of what, you know, when I'm not around, when you think of Tom Brown, this is what you think of.
Yeah.
And it's so much more than the clothes you're wearing. It's that image. And it's, and I always feel like it's almost like you're creating a piece of living art because I do feel like when people see what you do and what, like they know. And that's what we should be proud of.
Yeah, it's so
to be able to create something that is like a real idea and an image in people's minds is, I think, really, really powerful and important.
So the other important thing is when people tell you about their experience in your clothes, I'm sure you have amazing stories. Like, tell me some of the stories that you hear.
Well, I think early on, you know, because nobody really liked it. So, you know, I had those moments that kind of validated, okay, maybe I'm not doing something, you know, everything wrong. You know, David Bowie coming in and saying like, oh, I was shaking. I was so nervous. And I said, so, you know, and I was the worst at the beginning. I was like, yeah, if you want it like that, just go uptown. And I don't do that. But with he, I said for him, I was like, okay,
how
you don't
perfect,
tell.
How perfect David Bowie in your clothes. Oh
and
my
God. And he said, so what should I do with, you know, how should I wear it? And it's like, well, I wear it like this. Okay, then I'll wear it exactly like that. And then I thought, okay, that's a pretty good sign that maybe
that's a biggie.
Something, yeah.
That's a biggie.
Yeah. And it's moments like that, you know, so over the years, you know, I just have it's odd in a way because people feel like I am so almost fascistic in regards to you have to wear it this way. And look, if you ask me, I will tell you, yes, this is how I see it. It would look good this way. But I also, the most inspiring thing to me is when somebody has a good sense of themselves and can personalize it in their own way. And, you know, so I also love that. And people don't always understand that. And I think that's is that good or is it not good? Sometimes I don't know. But it's, people understand how I put it into the world. And I think that's the next, not challenge, but I want more people to see that it's for more people than yeah. they realize sometimes. Because yeah. it's still, even 20 years later, it's still very niche, which I love. But I also wanted everybody to feel like I'm doing it for everyone.
Yeah. You know, you're still a baby in the industry, if you're asking me. Yeah. What I'm curious about is it took me 14 years mm-hmm. before I made any money.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying a lot of money, but I made any money.
Yeah.
And before that, it was like, okay, mm-hmm. I made another week, did this. I had to use scraps and do patchwork because I didn't have any, like there were a lot of rough patches. Mm-hmm. But then through the 14 years, there are these different inspirations, whether yeah. it's somebody you really think is amazing or yeah. you get this editorial that even blows your mind and yeah. like those little nudges. Hang in.
Yeah.
Just hang in.
Yeah.
And then, so how long did it take in your initial years?
Me, about the same, about 15 years. So the last, we're really good now. Mm-hmm. But the beginning was, I designed a collection for Brooks Brothers and for Moncler to pay for my collection, yeah. always knowing that my collection yeah. was the most important, but you know, did really good work for those collections to fund my mm-hmm. collection. So it was just a lot of work.
Yeah.
And look, I also, it took years for people to really even like, it doesn't even look like it fits you. Why should we like it? So it was still like, it was a lot of people not really getting it.
Yeah.
And I think they only started getting it because I loved it so much and it was very true to mm-hmm. what I wanted people to see. And it wasn't like I was creating something that was like against even what I
right.
liked myself. I loved it so much and I think that's the reason. But it took, you know, another 10 years after really mm-hmm. the very beginning.
It's timing. It's really all about timing. And especially if you're doing something different mm-hmm. That people have to sort of register.
Yeah.
And they're so used to seeing something that they've seen before mm-hmm. and making a judgment that, but if it's totally new, I remember having buyers. I did swimwear at a time when all the swimwear is low leg and mm-hmm. no stretch fabric. I mean, this is really mm-hmm. in the dark ages. And I did a swimwear collection. It was the first time it was a high leg. Mm-hmm. First time. And I did these, I don't know what I was thinking, but I did whatever. And these buyers from Bloomingdale's, because we had the cover of Cosmo, and if you had that cover, it was like Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted it, and these buyers from Bloomingdale's came in. We had a model, and you know, we were like gonna be professional and had photos. And they sat down and they looked, they got up and walked out. And I thought, I have to ask around, is that what they do in buyers? They just walk
yeah.
out and don't say yeah. anything?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I don't know if I'm gonna like this.
Yeah.
But there are those signs that yeah. you should hang in.
Yeah.
And then I think it's timing.
Yeah.
People are ready to adjust to mm-hmm. what you're saying and what you're doing. And I think, you know, if you think I'm saying 56 years and you still have some decades to tell
yeah.
the story and expand on the story yeah. and also be influenced by what's going on in the world. I mean, I'm an optimist and I really believe out of all of this chaos, mm-hmm. we are really going to be in a better place. Mm-hmm. And that
yeah.
Why
yeah.
We're-
yeah.
I think when people wear your clothes,
especially now where your images are so powerful and the impressions are, they just last and last. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you about anybody's collection except a few rare ones. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you, because we look at what other people do. I can't forget yours.
No,
I just
you.
Can't.
Thank you.
And I think it's because I'm sort of an expert, and I know what to appreciate. And if time made me that expert, then it did. But there are some collections that just stay, and the fact that that's what you do is just such a powerful privilege that you have, really, to be able to do that for people. It's extraordinary. I'm so impressed with what you do, and I'm really looking forward to everything else you do. And I really hope in my heart that you're gonna make a film and do a film with your characters. Seeing them on a stage, even just in that venue, but seeing them in a film with a story, wow.
Well, I mean, coming from you, it's such an honor coming from you, because, you know, at the beginning, like I said, you are really one of the icons that have created what we are all benefiting from nowadays here in America, in our world. And it's nice to hear, because I do care so much about doing something important.
Yeah.
I don't really want to just make clothes.
Yeah.
And of course I love making beautiful clothes and I want as many people to wear it as possible. But to a fault sometimes, I just want to do something that is important enough that matters.
Yeah.
And I do care so much. And that's why I really kill myself in regards to the collections, and the clothing piece of it is, you know, sometimes it's very easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's how I want people to see it.
Yeah.
That is sometimes a real challenge, because I want it to be important.
I think the presentation is just another level of your talent, and it's just, there's so many levels of it. That I'm putting it out in the universe that there should be films by you that really tell stories.
Because I do feel like every collection is a story, and totally. It really just comes down to having the time, because I'm so focused on making sure that maybe I'm just not a multitasker. Maybe I'm lazy.
But you get people who really understand what you do, and you must be a good director because of what you do. And I think if you're providing all of this extraordinary beauty and adventure, I mean.
Well, I'd like to see your movie too.
My movies are so different from your movies. My movies are, because I'm invested in taking care of women.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, you know, I'm a big proponent of longevity and doing all kinds of, spending a lot of time with doctors and researchers who are also using AI, and not only for women, but for men and women, a healthy, live a long life and a fruitful life. But I think women have so many insecurities and issues that are just part of the history of women.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have children. I decided not to purposely, And I wanted to spend time trying to figure it out and helping women. And my book for women was about those things. Mm-hmm. And so my purpose is wrapped up in, I want you to feel good, mm-hmm. but I want you to feel good inside, mm-hmm. and I want you to feel good in your head. Mm-hmm. And you're having kids, and I decided to take the time to research that mm-hmm. and share that information. So I have like this kind of complicated situation, and I design, from how I feel mm-hmm. in the clothes, and mm-hmm. the storytelling is through that, mm-hmm. through what she's going through. Yours is, mine is sort of in here and here, mm-hmm. where I belong. Mm-hmm. Yours is, it's magic. Mm-hmm. It's just a magical experience, and that talent is rare. I mean, it's not every designer is going to have that. Some do in different forms. Mm. Yours is a whole other level.
Oh,
so,
thank you. Well, I have a lot of good people that I work with too.
We're very lucky.
Yeah.
We're very lucky when we have that. So thank you.
Thank you so
much.